Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Orgullosamente Latino hasta la muerte y después. Worldwide Latino pride, the ambassadors of violence. LAX, K-Dog, the notorious 187 homicide.
Bang, the tang, the tang, tang. Don't say nothing. Bang, the tang, the tang, tang. We be dumping. Bang, the tang, the tang, tang. Just act like you know, and homie, stop.
Stomping. I'm from Miami, not Compton. Down with the essays in the 6-4 hopping. To my Boricuas in the 787. And those up in Brooklyn pulling 211.
I come through stomping, rolling in my low top chucks. Making sure you suckers feel me every time we bust. Shackled up like a nut going 5150. G'd up in the feed up, greased up in some dickies.
I rap a lot, like the label out of Houston. Sneaky like the clock up in the shop, straight boosting. To all my gente down in Juarez. Cálmate un momento, paisa, no dispares.
Put it down from Killer Cali to the MIA. Ask the homie Crazy K, yo, man, that boy don't play. It's in my NIAK, putting it down all day. Representing Southern Cali, get in my way, you'll get sprayed.
We be dropping. Bang, the tang, the tang, tang.
Don't say nothing.
Bang, the tang, the tang, tang.
We be dropping.
Bang, the tang, the tang, tang.
Did you watch the Raw after WrestleMania?
Yes, I did.
Okay, so Triple H comes out. And he came to thank the fans and said, listen, 24 hours ago, the fans made something very special happen. So I can now really tell you that was the greatest WrestleMania of all time. Isn't that funny? That, and bro, too, you know what I'm super interested in? Is when all this shit started, they started documenting everything. And there's going to be a documentary on how this shit all changed. The stuff that I'd love to hear the thought processes that went through these things within which, you know, because The Rock has not been shy about breaking kayfabe and talking about this stuff, you know, because he's an actor. You know, that's what he's like in the actor's lounge afterwards talking about the thing, you know.
Yeah, I saw that trailer where it was like Cody and it was fucking Paul and it was The Rock and Roman. Yeah. You know, so they're going to go behind the scenes and it's going to be very interesting because it'll be the first time we've seen this.
Well, I want to hear like what some of hopefully they put some of the TKO brass in it too and like hear what they're saying.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah, that should be very interesting. I can't wait to see that.
Look at that spike in the quarter hours DI for the what do you call it? 8:30 to 8:45 went up to 3.19 million.
Yeah, is that crazy?
Yeah.
So the show starts out, you know, 100, yeah. They did a monster. They did 2.2 million on Monday. That's like a smack. That's a good smack. That's a SmackDown number usually. So I don't know. This is a very long promo segment when Cody came out. You know, he just thanked the fans, all you know, everything. And then The Rock comes out. And bro, this just went on forever. And the fans were chanting, like, this is awkward. And they basically, you know, said, let me hold your belt. They held each other's belts. Rock said there'd be no blood spilled. He just wanted to give Cody his flowers. He said Cody didn't complete the story. Spoke of that things he did to Cody and said Cody still got it done. And basically giving him kind of like his props here. Rock said Cody finished the story and has a brand new belt, which Rock called the beautiful. I'll point out the American Nightmare side plates. Rock responded to a fan who called his belt fake, and Rock said it was given to him by Lani Ali. Rock asked Cody if he could hold his title, and Rock said there'd be no fireworks or harm. He spoke about holding a lot of titles during his career, but he said he never held the one that Cody had. Cody told Rock that he should hold his title for a moment as long as Rock let him hold his title. Rock agreed and said he would be honored to let him hold the People's Champion's title, and they slowly swapped belts. Rock said it felt just right while he had the belt over his shoulder, and Rock thanked Cody, and they swapped belts again, and Rock said he has to go away for a little while and said he didn't want to leave because he loves pro wrestling and made it cool again along with Cody. And the crowd sang the goodbye song, which Rock smiled in response to. The Rock told Cody to remember when he comes back, whether Cody is champion or not, he was coming back for him. Cody said, I'm looking forward to it. Rock said he and the world were looking forward to it. And Rock said he had one more thing Cody didn't know. He said he could beat Reigns. Rock said Cody beat Reigns in the middle of the ring 1-2-3. And Rock said less than 24 hours before that, he beat Cody in the middle of the ring 1-2-3. He said Cody beat him and that story's over. And the Rock removed his shade and said, but our story has just begun. Cody said he believes that because Rock is the boss, Cody said Rock is a final boss, and he's also the TK board of directors that makes him his literal boss. But Cody said he's the champion, and Cody looked at the crowd and said he is their champion, and boss said means I'm your champion. Rock nodded and said Cody is their champion, the world champion. He is his champion. And Rock said he had one more thing before he went off in the sunset. He said he had something to give to Cody, and there would be no fireworks. He reached in his pocket and told Cody to give him his hand. Then Rock slipped something in Cody's hand. Rock told Cody that he didn't have to open his hand and know what it was. Don't you ever break my heart again. If you smell what the final boss is cooking, the Rock music played. And we go back, and Cody opened up his hand, and the thing exploded in his face, and his face caught on fire. Well, that's the last part didn't actually happen, but there's a mystery. They leave us with a question, and that's soap opera storytelling. What did Rock hand Cody? And right. That's what you do in a soap opera. You end with a question for the future. So
cliffhanger.
All right. What do you think of this?
I can't add much more to them. What you just said, it was a very, very long segment. Hunter comes out, huge pop. He introduces Cody, hugs him, says he's the new face of the new era, whatever he said. Boom. Cody's in there, you know, puts the belt on the floor, kisses it. The Rock comes out, right? And I love this part right here. I love when the crowd started to tell him, what? What? Right. And then he said something like, I'll tell you what, Philadelphia just broke another record, and everybody, for the most trailer park trash in one place. Some people booed, some people, you know, cheered. And then I love this. And then Rock goes, why don't you chant that shit again or shut the fuck up? And they muted him. I love Surly. I love Surly Rock. He don't right. give a fuck.
Right.
He's going to say, and you need to mute it because I'm going to say.
Here's the thing. Is that, you know, Rock is being a heel,
right?
But there was still always the potential that he'd get booed, get cheered.
Right.
So he had to kind of be kind of like a vulgar heel.
Right.
And it's like, you really are, you know, like this audience really won't cheer the vulgar heel because there's not a lot of cussing on the show.
Plus the great thing, the other great thing is that it's so unlike anything we've seen him do. And it's almost like if Cena were to come out and turn heel and start saying, fuck you and suck this. And you know what I'm saying?
Imagine what a character he would have benefited if Vince McMahon would have pulled the trigger like they did with Roman Reigns, you know? Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, so that was great. All right. And then the fans started to tell him, shut the fuck up. And they had to censor that. So great crowd participation. So it's opening up good.
Right.
Bro, the people said this is awkward, not because it was long, because he gave him his belt and the other gave him his right. belt. And they were like, what the same thing I was thinking. What in the fuck is going on here?
It's all it was know? Awkward. It's like, what are they doing?
I'm right. like, what are you guys doing? Why are you giving him his belt? And then at the end, Rock says, thank you very much. I appreciate that. What? Aren't you a heel?
Yeah. It was just weird. It was,
was very, yeah. So, what was the other thing that I wanted?
Like they could have taken out that whole. This thing didn't need to be 45 minutes.
No, they needed to trim a good 15
minutes. They could have taken the exchange of the belts out. So I don't know. Yeah. A lot of
he
stuff
might have ad libbed. Who knows? And right. Cody was like, "What? You know, he's already leading you. Now you got to follow him. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, but anyways, this was a good strong segment. But I'm thinking because The Rock says he would be back. Mm-hmm. That we might see him at SummerSlam?
Because
it looks like he's having fun and he wants to come back and he's done great numbers.
Yeah.
Right?
I think he'll be involved somehow, yeah.
Yeah. There was one last thing I wanted to say about this. I fucking forgot. All right. Oh, here's the thing. Bro, okay, I know you want us to wait and we will wait. He gives him something in his hand and he ends it with, don't break my heart again. What? I'll wait.
And we'll get the answer. You know, when we get the answer, we'll know. But like, I got no problem with that. You know?
Right.
Okay. So, so there we go to Ilya Dragunov beat Shinsuke Nakamura in 4 minutes. NXT champions on the show. It's a short match. Not much to say. This guy's stiff. Ilya Dragunov. I'm sorry. He's a typical English banger guy. You know, like I wouldn't.
He's actually Russian.
A Russian guy. Yeah, but he was from the
right. Like, yeah, he's trained.
Bro, he had like a match of the year with Gunther. Back a couple years ago.
Yeah, I was trained in Europe. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, they're bringing him. You know what, too? There's a history between him and Gunther. Maybe this little tough little guy is a good foil for Gunther. Maybe they could do some TV with him on the big stage.
Yeah, you know? They would have some great matches.
Yeah. Conan.
What up?
I've got a public service announcement.
Really? You're leaving the show?
No.
All right.
No. K100 with Conan Disco is brought to you by Get Blitzed. Want to hear about Get Blitzed?
I know about it, but go ahead.
It was, Get Blitzed was created by Mickey Ray Sinatra from Mo Thug South, plus Courtney, the brains of the operation. The big product here, the number one seller, is their nano-infused THC syrup. This is the real deal THC and not the garbage they sell at the gas stations. It's super potent, like THC on steroids. It has only a 5 to 15 minute onset with as little as a teaspoon, and it's perfect for the weekend, for relaxing, for a party, and there's no hangover. You can take the teaspoon by itself, mix with water, soda, juice, energy drink, whatever you want. Flavors like cherry and grape are both delicious either way. So go to getblitz.com and use the code K100 to get 15% off. Now, I've been using this product, and it's fantastic. On my days off, I like to go out and either like do like a long bike ride or a hike or go to the gym and do cardio. And afterwards, I get a nice meal, and it's late in the afternoon. I like to take a teaspoon, and bro, it's so relaxing. Do you use it? What products do you use this? I love the grape. I use the grape.
I love this thing. Then again, I've been using cannabis in one form or another for like, you know, since I was like 12. I like this a lot because it doesn't bring you down hard. It's a really calm effect when you come down. I love the piña colada. I love the grape. Yeah, those two are the ones that I like. My favorites. And so I'll put it in anything from Sprite to orange juice to some Grey Goose. It mixes well with everything. And like I'm trying to get off blunts, which I love because it's bad for your lungs, just as almost as bad as cigarettes. So I've been trying to get more into liquids and edibles. Yeah, so you can't go wrong with this. I mean, the real deal, we wouldn't be using it and we would not be promoting it.
Yeah, so if you're looking to up your game and avoid low-quality imitations with shady ingredients, check out Get Blitz now at getblitzed.com and use our code K100 to get 15% off. So order, enjoy, and let us know on Twitter or k100questions@gmail.com how your experience was. That's 15% off with the code K100 at getblitz.com.
Yeah, and what makes it so special is, like Disco said before, nano-infused, which is basically nano-emulsification technology. So it breaks the THC into smaller particles for faster absorption, right? Dude, I'm on Blitz right now. So, but anyways, get high, stay happy, functioning, get blitzed, boom.
So, video recap the McIntyre Seth angle. They showed Drew walking outside the building. They showed Priest walking backstage. So then the Judgment Day. Oh, shot into the giant title belt and set up outside the venue. And Cole set up a WrestleMania recap video. The Judgment Day comes out. Balor, Mysterio, and Jane East in the ring. Said all the Balor said all the haters and doubters thought Ripley couldn't beat Lynch and Priest couldn't call his money back contract successfully. He wanted to let them know they were all wrong. Dominic took the mic and got his usual booing out of the building while he introduced Ripley and made her entrance. Then once in the ring, Ripley looked at her title belt. WrestleMania was almost perfect, but you know, we have a couple new problems that we need to deal with, Ripley said. She said two things came out of the weekend. Said Ripley is mammy and is always on top, and this is a new era for the Judgment Day. The Priest was introduced by Balor, and once Priest was in the ring, the fans started, "You deserve a chant." He said, "You're damn right I do." Now the Terror Twins stand before you as world champions. Priest said they rise to the occasion, now the world needs to follow suit and all rise for the Judgment Day. Priest and Ripley held up their title belts, and R-Truth snuck in the ring and joined them by raising up his Raw Tag Team title belt. And Priest said, "Hell no." Truth said he brought the tag team title belts back to Judgment Day. And Truth said he knows they're picky about who they let in the group, but he's only one half of the tag team champions. Then the Miz came out to you know what? I don't agree with this. Jason Powell said that his entrance, the flattest reaction of the night. I don't think the reaction was flat. No. He got a pop when his music hits.
Yeah,
you know,
he did.
Oh, he said he spoke as he walked and then entered to the ring. Miz said he doesn't want to be in Judgment Day, and he knows Truth doesn't want to be either. Priest said Truth isn't in Judgment Day. Truth said he is.
That's
Miz great. Pulled Truth to the side of the ring, and Miz introduced himself and Truth as the new Raw Tag Team Champions. And Balor said, "Awesome, Truth will have the shortest tag team title in history." Balor challenged him to put the titles on the line. Truth said it sounds like fun, but they can't because there's only three of us. Miz asked if he was talking about a real person or little Jimmy, and Truth said they could have a six-man with him and Miz and the guy you can't see. McDonough accepted the challenge, and Miz said he wanted to physically see their partner. Truth tried to introduce the partner, but he and Miz were already attacked by the Judgment Day, and they break it down. They do a 3-on-2, and basically they introduce John Cena, the guy who you can't see, and Cena comes in for the hot tag, and they beat him. They beat
this
him
was
up.
Actually great, and I felt dumb afterwards because I kept thinking, oh, please don't bring this little Jimmy bullshit back again.
Right.
I wasn't even thinking.
Oh, you were fooled by it. I thought it, yeah. the guy can't see it. I said, Cena's probably in town. That's probably Cena.
Yeah, no, I didn't. Right. So,
and then it was surprising. Great. I think there was a very faint Cena chant when they got attacked. Like a couple fans started chanting Cena, the crowd. You could barely hear it, but it didn't catch on. You know? So.
Yeah. So when he did show up and he didn't have to do nothing, they did the five knuckle shuffle thing off three of them and the attitude adjustment. It was good. It was short, sweet.
Let me tell you how good their booking's been lately, right? Because I'm telling you what they're going to do here, and you can tell. Bro, they love Truth. Okay, Truth's 50-something years old, and like he said, everything they've asked him to do, and he's one of the more over characters on this show right now.
Right.
Okay?
You finally got rewarded.
I think they can keep telling this story, and they can get a pay-per-view title match between Truth and a Priest out of this. And I think the fans will buy it too.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
I guarantee you that's the direction.
Not only that, Priest is a big proponent of using Truth in the Judgment Day. It was actually his idea.
Bro, think about this. Okay, the way they're telling all these stories and stuff and everything. What if McIntyre screws Priest and we get a short title reign with R-Truth?
People would love it.
Yeah, I think they would. Like I said, Vince McMahon's not booking this company anymore.
Right.
You know, like they could do some things that like you wouldn't think they would do, and they would, you know, they're going outside the box, you know, so.
You know what's a good, on that note, about Vince and his style and stuff like that? Ronda Rousey just had a new book come out.
Right.
And the second half, the bulk of it, is her WWE run, both of them. And, you know, you'd probably think, oh, I'm not interested in that. I don't know. That's probably not a good book. Her takes on Vince and how things were run and how frustrated she was is one of the best looks at how, you know, frustrating it can be to be involved in that creative. Because she had all these ideas. She went through this and that, and they're supposed to build to this. And they would tell her that's where it was going. And then a week before, they'd yank it out. No, we're going to have Liv. Yeah, Liv's going to turn. Or Liv's going to be here. No. And then they would just keep fucking it up. And it just, I think, you know, Conan would probably be like, I don't give a shit about Rousey's book. But the second half is pretty fascinating.
Well, let me tell you why. Well, that is fascinating. It's because she doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah. That's why I bought it.
Well, but the thing with WWE talent, okay, is that even when you leave, nobody there will badmouth Vince McMahon while they're there. And nobody that worked for him will ever really badmouth him before you leave, because he's the guy you got to come that has to okay for you to come back. So now that he's not there anymore, I watch out like a lot of if they like talent leaves or something, they're going to start burying Vince, you know, because
they're going to find a lot of stuff.
Never come back, like the Rybacks and stuff. You know, that like they'll never use him again because the guy buried Vince when he left, you know. Right.
Or so, for a long time they won't use him, like Warrior.
Right. Yeah.
Macho. Actually,
so he's kind of like a tyrant in that aspect that people would never really speak up against him, you know? So, yeah, but Rousey, then she didn't care. She got, that's what happens when you got tons of money.
Yep.
So Bronson Reed.
What I thought was weird when she, maybe when she wrote the book, he was still there. But I saw an interview of her not too long ago where they were like, would you go back? And she's like, well, things would have to change. Well, yeah, they have changed. Vince is not there anymore. So I didn't understand why she said that.
Very interesting.
Like she alluded a lot to the, you know, sexual harassment claims and what's the agreement I'm thinking of? The one where you're supposed to be quiet and you aren't anymore, apparently.
NDA.
All the NDAs and stuff. And she said, it's hard to sometimes know where the evil, unethical, slimeball character of Vince played out for the cameras ends, and the actual questionably ethical, many times suited, multiple times accused of sexual misconduct, Vince McMahon begins. That blurred line between character and reality is the recurring theme within the WWE universe. But that's not like one of the fascinating ones, but she really digs deep.
Right. So Bronson Reed cut a promo that Drew Uso and Ricochet would all learn a lesson in Raw dominance in the main event, because they're doing a four-way from the... to determine the number one contender for the World Heavyweight Championship. And this, when they announced
your Priest title, right?
Yes. And when they announced this, okay, I immediately was like, dude, I'm like, yo, bro, if you want to do, like, you know, basically they just went into the typical booking of Raw. Bro, the storyline here is Drew McIntyre has a legitimate gripe. I should be the first guy to begin a rematch automatically.
Yeah.
And that should have been his shtick. Not be like he should be complaining about have to be in this four way. You know, I got screwed. Like, you know, that was, you know, Punk, you know, that should have been the shtick here. The first match we should be doing is McIntyre against Priest. In my opinion, you know, that's what I would.
I don't know. I don't like it up before they get to that.
I just think, like, you have a legitimate gripe. The guy's, like, obviously the number one contender because he just, like, the number one and number
two. But he could probably complain about that next week, you know.
Are McIntyre and Seth Rollins.
Right.
Okay. And then, like, these guys, you know, could have fought for, like, a contender's match or something. But like, you know, it's more logical storytelling if you continue with Priest, Drew, and Seth. And then you have truth dangling.
Maybe when they were booking, they were like, okay, what do we do with Bronson? What do we do with this guy? You know what? Let's put him in with this.
Lazy booking to me.
But maybe they're going to get to where you want. They just this week wanted to put him, you know, they needed to put him in that match so they could use him. Right. You know what I'm saying?
Conan, guess what?
Yo, what up?
We have some great news.
All right.
The Legacy Test Stack and the Legacy Ultimate Test Stack are back in stock for LegacySubs.com. And I'm sure our boy Nick Aldis, who ruptured a biceps tendon, is going to be stacking up on the Legacy Test Stack and the Ultimate Test Stack to rehabilitate his injury. Do you think he might be doing that?
For sure.
Well, this product has been proven to be so popular, the Legacy has been out of stock for almost a month. So if you've been on the fence about trying their best-selling stack for safety and naturally optimizing your testosterone levels, don't hesitate. The modern world is full of harmful chemicals that lower your testosterone. The best way to fight back is to make sure you're naturally stimulating your body's own natural testosterone production at all times. Healthy testosterone levels account for more strength and more energy. That's obvious. Also, a healthier sex drive and better sleep. A lot of people probably didn't know that. So invest in your health and performance now and order the Legacy Ultimate Test Stack at LegacySubs.com. And remember to use the code K100. It's the number one discount code used for LegacySubs.com to get a 10% discount and support the show. That's LegacySubs.com. Level up with Legacy. All of our friends, if they get it, don't forget, reorder if you're running out. And for all our newbies that are listening to this, we've got great testimonials from our followers that have been using this. They've been losing weight, feeling better, getting more muscular. It's great products there by our boy Nick Aldis and LegacySubs.com.
Right. And there's a reason why this is their best-selling thing. We've been doing business with them for 3 years. You know, the Test X9 is like an optimizer. So like he said, it helps with libido. It helps with your energy levels. It helps with your workouts. I mean, you know, testosterone. That's why guys over 40 years old are just running to get the TRT therapy. You know what I'm saying? Because it works. So we use these products ourselves. You can't go wrong with them. So get healthy, stay healthy with Legacy Subs. Boom.
Backstage, Dominik told Rhea Ripley that he didn't think John Cena would actually come out. She said Cena isn't their problem. So the problem is that Dom put his faith in Andrade, who betrayed him. Dom said he would deal with the problem and then walked away. And suddenly Ripley was stuck attacked by a chair thrown by Liv Morgan.
Bro, that was great. Did you see that?
That was a good violent attack.
Yeah, out of nowhere.
Bam. Yeah, that looked good.
Yep. Yeah, she hit her in the head with it.
For a couple seconds, it looked real, you know? So
Yeah. That's why I popped. I was like, right. What? Yeah.
So they got the NXT Women's Championship.
Like, that's something you'd see guys do, not women. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
So I guess this Rock, you've been watching NXT. They got this Roxanne Perez guy, the Roxanne Perez girl out here, and she's small.
Very small. They like her.
But she kind of brings it with her work.
She does.
You know,
but she's still small. She's the type of girl that, remember I was telling you, she's very talented. She can speak. She's Mexican. She was trained. One of her trainer was Daga and Tessa Blanchard.
Right.
But I met her when she was like 17 because I wanted her to come to Mexico, but she was too young.
What did you mean?
Roxana Perez, because Daga introduced me to her. Yeah.
Oh, really? Oh, cool.
Yeah. So, and then next thing I know, she's
17 years old. How old is she now? Seven,
maybe 22 or something.
Right.
Yeah. So,
do you guys want to pop in and take a look at what the Young Bucks are doing with this Punk thing right now, or just
no?
Nobody,
I'm going to wait.
Yep.
To watch it later.
Okay.
I watch it at work. I watch it start to finish at work at 8 o'clock. So I don't want to watch anything now.
Right.
I actually stay off. I don't look and see what.
Yeah, I'm not going to say. I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to say anything.
Okay. So, Perez goes over.
Right. So Perez is a good wrestler.
Well, let me finish.
Yeah.
Perez is a heel in NXT, and Indy Hartwell is doing the gimmick with Candice LeRae here, who's turning heel, and they kind of kept that little story.
She looked really small next to her, too.
She did. Yeah.
But what I was saying last week is these girls like Candice LeRae, like her, like Selena Vega, like those two party girls that never really party. Remember Caden and Candice?
Right.
Remember? Yeah. Like all those small girls, they should all be in their own division.
Okay.
And then like if they fight us
for the girls.
Right. And if they ever fight like a bigger person, it should be in a tag or a three man.
Well, they should just have a bantamweight division. Right. Sami Zayn was backstage and him and Uso gave some high fives to each other, congratulating each other. The Roxanne Perez was encountered by Natalya, who said she would see her on NXT, and she said, "No, I'll see you tomorrow night on my show," Perez said before walking away. So they took 15 seconds right there to promote for NXT tomorrow.
Right. Nothing.
Right. It's like, what was the purpose? Yeah. So Sami Zayn comes out and they sang his song, "We Give You, You Deserve a Chance," said he's been so lucky and has done some historic things. Said he wanted to do something historic again this year, and he thinks he did. Said the person really made history. Gunther, Zayn said the fans can boo, but they can't take his 666-day reign away from him. Zayn said Gunther is the best intercontinental champion of all time. I still think the Honky Tonk Man is the best intercontinental champion of all time. Would you agree with that?
Yeah,
I agree. Said, but guess what? I beat him. Fans sang the LA song, and Zayn said he got a lot of help from his fans. He said there were times he didn't believe in himself, but the fans did. And Zayn had seen his wife and son before the match helped him, just as seeing Kevin Owens helped him. Zayn said there was another guy who helped him, and he was interrupted. The Imperium comes out, our evil far-right Europeans.
Right.
Kaiser spoke about how Gunther put in hard work and dedication to make the Intercontinental title the most prestigious title of the WWE. And Kaiser said it breaks his heart to see someone like Sami Zayn holding the title now. Kaiser said Zayn looks like all the peasants in Philadelphia, and added that he looks like a bum.
That was great, bro, because they had a close-up of Sammy, and he does look like a bum. Right. The beard, the unkempt hair, yeah.
Kaiser said he and Vinci were there to make things, him and Leonardo da Vinci were there to make things right, and Kaiser set the mic down, but he and da Vinci removed their warm-up gear and climbed on the apron. Then Chad Gable ran out and caused the heels to drop to the floor, and we go to commercial. When we come back, a Sheamus vignette aired. And when they come back, we have a tag match in the ring. Sami Zayn and Chad Gable against Ludwig Kaiser and Leonardo da Vinci. And guess who wins? Sami Zayn and Chad Gable.
Listen to this, Disco. So I was on Twitter today, and I saw people complaining that the WWE draft will be on at the same time as the NFL draft, like last year. And they were pissed off because they were having to flip between channels. I'm like, why don't you just record one of them?
Well, both of them are going to do bad, awesome numbers because everybody's going to be going back and forth.
Yeah.
So you can it's just like, yeah.
And, bro, don't you have a TV that has PIP, you know, where you can watch two channels at once?
Right. Jey Uso delivered a backstage promo on Drew McIntyre, Bronson Reed, and Ricochet for the main event. Then backstage, Andrade shook hands with Raw General Manager Adam Pearce, the SmackDown General Manager Nick Aldis, and NXT GM Ava before exiting the room. Aldis said Pierce did a great job of recruiting Andrade to Raw, and Aldis said it's a shame that Pierce put all that work in just so he could snag him in the draft. Pierce said there are a couple people he'd like to see on Raw. Ava said you never know who can end up in NXT, and said they all put their differences aside. You know what's his name? This is funny. Okay. So Jason Powell writes, an escort, or Chelsea Green, entered the picture and complained that she wasn't included in the biggest WrestleMania of all time, and Green said she would be contacting the top brass. Pierce said they saw her emails, texts, and DMs. Pierce said that's why he had a special match for her. Pierce told her to go to the ring because her moment awaits. And they laughed after Chelsea went to the ring. Did you hear the escort story about Chelsea Green?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy, huh?
Best part is Matt Cardona goes, she does look like an escort. Then.
Look, in Vegas, hot girls like walking around in groups of two are always, they always like come up to the master IDs and stuff because they think they're
escorts. Really?
Oh, yeah. Wow. It all happens all the time. Cole boasted that 17 television events sold out leading into WrestleMania, while a video had graphics showing the various events that sold out. The McAfee once again boasted about the 201,924 attendance for the five events held in Philadelphia. It's a lot. Then Chelsea Green's waiting in the ring, and Jay Cargo comes out and clobbers her in 33 seconds. What else? Sami Zayn walked backstage with Chad Gable celebrating with Otis Tozawa and Maxxie Dupri, and Zayn asked if he could have a minute with Gable, so the others exited. Zayn said he figured they were even after he handed him the win. Gable started to explain what he was looking for, but Zayn stopped him and said he knew. Zayn held up the championship and told him that it would be an honor to defend his title against him in next week in Zayn's hometown of Montreal. I can't wait, Gable said. And Zayn agreed with Gable, and they shook hands. That'd be a good spot for Gable and to get Gable some heel heat if he cheats and beats him.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, you know what? Because they've been doing lately, they've been giving people wins in their hometowns.
Right.
They kind of change that. And they've been doing it enough to where I wonder if they might do the heel thing here again, you know? Because that'd be solar heat if he beats him and cheats.
Right.
You know? Oh, so this was great. So Drew comes out for the main event, and he doesn't do any fanfare for his entrance. He walks straight to the ring.
Right. He's in great shape, by the way.
Yeah. Called for the music stop and said, what happened the night before was BS. He said his title reigns lasted 5 minutes and 46 seconds. The people started, he said, oh, you think that's funny? He said, that's 5 minutes longer than most of your fans last in bed. That was a funny line.
Right.
McIntyre said he might not like Rollins, but he respects him. And McIntyre said he and Rollins shared a moment that only warriors know about. McIntyre said that that bondage Undertaker, Damian Priest, screwed it all up. Bro, they were calling him the what was the thing that was trending over the weekend about the Priest as something under the gay Undertaker or something like that, the bisexual Undertaker.
Right.
The people were calling him the bisexual Undertaker. That was trending all weekend on Twitter. Bisexual Undertaker. Fans are weird. McIntyre said he would say that he would Priest ass, but he'd probably enjoy it. McIntyre said the money in the bank briefcase is a joke that is now costing the championship twice. McIntyre said he's coming for Priest and laid him nothing more than a transitional champion. Said McIntyre said Priest may have had the contract, but he didn't cause what happened. McIntyre blamed that prick CM Punk. He recalled saying he would win the title, have a moment with his family, and then rub it in Punk's face. And McIntyre said that's what he did. He called Punk a coward for sweeping his legs the moment he took his eye off and then hitting him with his brace. Then McIntyre said he knew Punk would go into hiding because he's going after his weakest part. Then McIntyre said it just so happens that Punk, he said it's on site. Like, from now on, it's on site with you. You
know, right.
Like, and McIntyre said it just so happened that Punk's whole body is his weakest part. This was a really good promo before the match.
Yeah, he's on fire.
Yeah, then Jay comes out, interrupted him to interrupt his interview. But so then they had the four-way. And we get near the end, and it comes out to Jay and McIntyre. McIntyre put Jay down with the Future Shock DDT and went to the corner and counted, but went to the corner for the Claymore kick and started the countdown 3-2-1. But at one, he started running, coming out of the corner, but looked at somebody who's grabbing his leg and looked down. It was CM Punk. Jay took advantage of the distract and super kicked him, speared him, and hit him with the top row splash for the win. So Punk screwed him again, and Punk stood on the announce table afterwards and gloated that he cost McIntyre again. Well, the McIntyre Punk angle is so good because they're just trolling each other back and forth, and they're getting one up.
And as you saw in WrestleMania, and you saw here, you know, he seems to be moving that arm a little bit better, so we may see him in action sooner than
Joe. When was the date of Royal Rumble?
Was January 27th.
January 27th. So, okay, February 27th, March 27th. So, it's 8-9 weeks. And 2 weeks. Okay, so 11 weeks. Let me look at this here. Torn tricep recovery time.
And remember, he said in that Hawani interview that he wasn't too sure, I maybe could have gone through with it because he was feeling so good. Maybe I could have had the match. Yeah.
Oh, almost. Because if they're to, bro, let's be honest. You know, Punk is probably, he's super rich. So, I'm sure he's getting, like, the best, you know, care that you can get,
right.
You know, so
maybe
be back
in stem cells, yeah.
So he'll definitely be back before SummerSlam for sure. So yeah, that's interesting. 4 to 6 months. So he's almost, yeah, he's not far away. Interesting. Okay. Oh yeah, here it is. Tricep tendon rupture repair and rehabilitation. Okay. This is interesting. Okay. Talk about the phases of this. Okay, phase one is 0 to 2 weeks. The patient is advised not to use the arm for any weight-bearing activities. Phase two, which is 2 to 4 weeks, they're converted into a range of movement brace, okay? Phase three, which is 4 to 6 weeks, the range of movement of the elbow brace is increased, and now we're in phase four, 6 to 12 weeks. The elbow brace is removed, and patients are allowed a full range of movement. They're advised to avoid heavy lifting, any activities that cause them pain. The aim of this phase is to commence strengthening and kinetic chain exercises at the same time as being aware of reduced vascularity. So phase five, 12 weeks, is to gradually return the patient to sporting activity. Wow. So he's only 8, 9, 10. He's like a couple weeks away from starting the rehab.
Yeah, I had a torn tricep too.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Okay, so
I was back in like 3 months, yeah.
Yeah. So they basically.
What I was looking at was that on Monday, his brace, I think, kind of came off, or he took it off, and mm-hmm. he was already kind of like flexing his arm. So
yeah, well, that's what what they said of this. You range of movement in his back, but no exercise, no strenuous right. activity. But then he's going to be starting the exercise soon.
Right. So interesting. Yeah. So that's red hot. Uso's red hot. You know, they got him hotter here, and you still got a disgruntled McIntyre who's willing to kill CM Punk. So
right.
some good shit.
It's on site.
Yeah. And it's on site. Yeah.
So that was actually good. Yeah. I liked, I don't like the four way to determine right. the number of contenders. Right. I just think they didn't have anything else
for them to do. And they just put him in there because, you know, McIntyre's hot right now, and they were going to get a pop with Punk, and they were going to get Uso over.
And my prediction is that they're heading towards a pay-per-view title match between Priest and Truth. So that's
interesting.
Yeah, it will be interesting. So we'll see that. And then, bro, the people will be popping for that huge. Right. They would want Truth to win, you know?
Right.
All right, so that's been our Raw review.
Boom.